So what conclusions can we draw with after having three audiences of probably 4,500 very smart future leader of America teenagers?
Jokes about boobies and wieners.
The country is in fine hands.
Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thanks for subscribing or for streaming or for downloading and listening on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 117, Educate, Motivate, Inspire. No, that's not our motto, as if. No, Educate, Motivate, Inspire is the motto of Envision EMI, the company that produced the Presidential Youth Leadership Conference that we took part in over the inaugural weekend in Washington, D.C. back in January. If you've seen our recent video podcast, then you will have gotten a glimpse at what the conference looked like. And if you haven't seen our video podcast, you need to. Go on over to YouTube and subscribe to the Reduced Shakespeare Company's YouTube channel. You can see our video podcast on YouTube and all the other videos that we've posted or will post in the future. But getting back to the point, a lot of people have asked us what the Youth Leadership Conference was all about. Fortunately, while we were there, I was able to sit down with Michael Donnarumma, the vice president of Envision EMI, and he explained just what the heck we were all doing there. Mike, tell me more about EMI, like what it stands for, who you're doing it for, and who you get involved with that.
Well, Envision EMI is a company that puts on leadership conferences for starting as early as elementary school all the way up through college-age kids. And the focus is a lot about leadership. We also have some programs that are focused on careers, so like we have a med program, a law program. Okay. And these programs bring kids in from kind of overnight programs where kids will just come in for the day and uh-huh. and then stay and not stay overnight. And then the overnight programs can last as long as 13 days. We have ones programs that happen overseas. Mm-hmm. Most of the programs do happen in the U.S., but we do have programs that happen overseas. And we bring to one of our programs, 60% of the high school program, GYLC as it's called, winds up being 60% kids from abroad. Okay. So we wind up with lots of kids from not only across the country, all over the world.
Okay, and do you seek them out? Do they seek you out? Do you work with local schools? How do you get these kids with the leadership skills?
So, for the most part, teachers will nominate kids based on GPA, based on leadership performance, and there's certain different criteria. Right. But for the most part, teachers will nominate students to come to our program, and then once they're nominated, we'll invite them. And if they decide to make the decision, to come, then once we send out the invite and they say yes, then we bring them to the program. Then they're part of our community, and then they get to come to things like the inaugural conference as an alum.
Right.
Because certain programs are only for our alumni.
Oh, okay. Like this inaugural conference.
This conference, you couldn't just show up at the inaugural conference.
Right.
We didn't have enough slots for our alumni.
Right.
So we actually had 1,000 people on the waiting list after the 15,300 people. And once Barack Obama was elected, we even had more people who wind up on the waiting list after the 1,000. So it winds up being something that's special because we only make it available to our alumni, which is terrific.
And are you based in D.C. or are you all over the country?
We have programs all over the country, uh-huh. but because we have a focus between D.C. and New York, when we have a program, we like to tie it to kind of cultural learning, experiential learning.
Right.
So D.C. and New York wind up giving us a lot of locations that we can actually, you know, bring kids out to Congress, bring kids out to the places where leadership, you know, really started and has transformed in this country. And then also in places like New York, you can go to lots of places with rich history to be able to have, you know, an experiential learning program that would actually make sense to the kids that are coming.
So you don't have a big call for conferences in Des Moines?
We don't, but we do have state programs. We have, in addition to kind of the programs with a draw in location, we do have state programs. Okay. And state programs are really run in a hotel, extremely focused on leadership. Uh-huh. And it's not a lot of travel outside. It's really just bringing kids in and teaching them about being leaders.
And younger group of
scholars, so it winds up being a different thing because, you know, parents are less apt to send their kids to go, you know, through a 13-day event between New York and in D.C., but they would be willing to drop their kids off as long as they knew it was a two-hour ride,
right,
and let them stay with us and then have a great leadership experience.
Well, and how do you define leadership? I mean, what makes a good leader that, that you guys are trying to isolate amongst the school kids?
We don't define it specifically, so sometimes it's grades, sometimes it's the way kids are behaving in school, because depending on the age group, as we get to the older grades, it's a lot more of a focus on grades.
Okay.
And you know, certainly there are other things that come into it as well, extracurricular activities, that kind of thing. Younger grades,
so we theater nerds have a chance.
Yeah, actually, what's cool about it, and I think how I'll describe it to you is what I see about the younger kids is that what we're trying to help them do is put them on the path to leadership.
Oh.
Whereas the older kids, we're giving them some advantages that will help them in high school and college continue their leadership experience.
Right.
So as we take kids and transform them to scholars and take them through our programs, our hope is to take them through initial program and then take them through other parts, because one Envision program plus one Envision program does not equal two.
Right.
It's exponentially better to go to, because we build on our experiences.
Right.
So it's not specific in that, you know, there's these 10 things.
Right.
There are things part of the program that would say, you know, being a confident public speaker and the things that we work on to help with leadership.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say, you know, as far as determining scholars and saying who can come and who can't, we don't get as specific because there's lots of leaders and lots of different
right.
things. We're actually in present time thinking about working on some sporting programs to help those kids
right.
wind up focusing attention on.
Well, and so you're looking for kids who are leaders, I guess, as opposed to followers. You don't want sheep. You want the next generation
of leaders.
Yeah, of leaders.
And that's exactly right. There's nothing specific that says just because you have good grades or just because you are involved in every extracurricular activity, but maybe in both cases you are a leader because of those things.
Right. So the kids that come to these conferences, what does the conference send the kids back into their communities to do? How do they go forth and lead, I guess, is the next step.
And that's one of the things we've been working on, kind of. We're really excellent at executing the leadership program and delivering the content. What we've been spending a lot of time on is now delivering that scholar back to their family
uh-huh.
and saying, hey, here's the things that we talked about. Here's the things your kids were good at. Here's the things your kids said they wanted to work on.
Yeah.
And here's some resources that we're now going to provide you because you're a member of our community.
Okay.
So that we can then say, you know, hey, if something your scholar is interested in public speaking, we want you to know that maybe joining the debate team would be a great idea for your kid.
Right.
And your kid showed that aptitude, so why
right.
don't you think about doing that kind of thing?
Right.
So what we're working on now is kind of the after the conference experience for the parent that helps us help the parent assess the kids, and then in addition to assessing them, help them find the things that are going to help them once they're back at home from our conferences.
Cool. And these kids are in, I imagine, student government. Some of them are athletes. Some of them are in the theater programs. They're from all walks?
All walks. And again, nothing specific. Certainly student government has a tendency to, especially because we do programs between D.C. and New York.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we have kids from every single walk of life
mm-hmm.
coming through our program. And the experience does not limit it to, hey, you only have a good experience if you are, you know, this type of kid. It doesn't
right.
work that way. It really
right.
opens it opens the doors for lots of different kids to really shine.
And do these kids have to pay? Are there scholarships? How does that all work?
So both.
Uh-huh.
You know, you can actually pay tuition and
uh-huh.
A very fair price.
Uh-huh.
If I told you how reasonable it was to come here, you'd say, wow, you couldn't get a hotel room for that in
right.
this area for
right.
this time.
Right.
So, well, we're fortunate enough to set this program up at a time where the value is exceptional on
right.
this program.
Right.
But then we also have scholarships. So for kids in need,
mm-hmm.
We have tons of scholarship dollars that a lot of people don't actually take advantage of.
Right.
But we do have them available, and we make them available for any scholar that wants to come to our program.
Okay.
So, and then lots of organizations, civic organizations, what they'll do is they'll also decide to earmark some of their dollars and pick five kids from their community and say, hey, we're going to send them. So that's kind of some of the things we're working on now to get the civic organization, to get the PTAs involved, because these are groups that are raising money.
Right.
Why not use some of your dollars to take five kids and really give them a great experience?
Right, to sponsor a kid or a group of kids.
Yeah.
It's so fascinating to be at a leadership conference on the weekend that we're inaugurating our new 44th president, because Obama seems to embody, I mean, maybe I'm biased, I voted for the dude, but
sure.
but you know, he's smart and he's charming.
Absolutely.
We've had smart guys who had the charm of a dead fish, and we've had empty, charming suits. But now we've got a guy who's got both.
Yeah, my take on him, and this is not a discussion about Obama, but he's got the right temperament for the country at this point.
Yeah.
And temperament really sometimes weighs in heavily in how people kind of feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And he's, I can't imagine any other temperament for this time
yeah.
that would benefit this country. So he's the coolest cat that yeah. I've seen in a long, long time.
Yeah.
No matter what you throw at him, you can't get him off of his game.
Yeah.
And I think that makes for the perfect timing for a guy that embodies this leadership that, and, you know, I've been fortunate enough to be at a lot of the events over the last couple of days. You mention his name. There's no rock star bigger than him right now. So these kids identify with him more than they've identified with anybody else we've put in front of them.
Right.
So you mention his name or you mention that he said something, they are cheering like a rock star just
yeah.
showed up. So, you know, the timing is right.
We're enormously flattered that we got to be a part of this because, and as Dominic said earlier, if nothing else, we provide a cautionary tale to these young leaders, future leaders. Don't end up like the Richard Shakespeare Company.
Well, I was fortunate enough to watch, and I thought it was fantastic. They got, you made them laugh, and most importantly, you know, we want the kids to come and have a great time. So
yeah.
my take is we give them some serious stuff. We give them some leadership program. We give them some fun.
Mm-hmm.
We give them some freedom. We give them all of the things that make you a leader.
Yeah.
And when you add it all together and then you go back home, maybe you take a little piece yeah. of each and maybe it makes you a little bit better when you get back home. So
yeah.
that's, I thought your program was great and the kids loved it. And that's what we want. We want the kids to have a
great.
Good time.
Well, Mike, thanks for having us and thanks for speaking to us.
My pleasure.
I'm Joe Palco with National Public Radio, and you're listening to the Reduce Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you see the RSC? On March 2nd, you can see The Bible, the Complete Word of God, abridged at the School Theatre in Felsted in the UK, and then on the 4th at the Ashcroft Arts Centre in Fareham, also in the UK. From March 5th, 6th, and 7th, we're going to be 3 nights in Poole at the Lighthouse at Poole's Centre for the Arts. And then in this country, in the US of A, you can see us in Louisville, Kentucky at the Kentucky Centre for the Arts on March 8th, doing Completely Hollywood abridged, and then on March 10th, we're back in the UK. Actually, we never left the UK. Those guys are still over there. We're over here. March 10th, we'll be at the Leatherhead Theatre in Leatherhead in the UK. Then on the 11th, we'll be at Stourbridge at the Town Hall Theatre in the UK. And also on the 11th, we'll be at the Southern Theatre in Columbus, Ohio, doing Completely Hollywood Abridged. Back on the 12th, back in the UK, The Bible, Complete Word of God Abridged at the Memorial Theatre in Barrie. Back on the 13th, I believe it's Friday the 13th, in Springfield, Illinois, at the University of Illinois. There we'll be doing The Complete History of America abridged. And then on the 14th, it's The Bible, The Complete Word of God abridged at the Artrix Theatre in Bromsgrove in the UK. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for information about all of these specific venues and how to get tickets. We had a great time performing for these young future leaders in D.C., both on stage and backstage during the performance. And after the third and final performance, Dominic Conti, Reed Martin, and I, we're all talking about it. What was the word? You kept coming backstage after every dirty joke that they would howl at. You would come back and say one word. What was the word?
Prurient!
Prurience! It was like a battle cry. Prurience! And yeah, because that's how you know you could we had finally won these guys over. The minute we made our first dirty joke in the one-hour version of The Complete History of America.
Yes. Minutemen. Better lovers than you might think. We had them for the rest of the time because they quieted down just in case we were going to say anything a little off color. They didn't want to miss it.
And what it does to me, though, is it points out to me how much there is that's off color in the show that I don't even think about anymore. You know?
Yeah, just, you know, double entendres, and they catch and are into more than any other adult audience. Like, they cut, like, you know, like, that's one of two things she does very well. They get that, and they laugh at that pretty big.
Yeah.
Other audiences are like, yeah, two things. It's like, two things.
Well, what's nice is that they take delight. They take the same delight in that sort of wordplay that we do because we're sophomores.
Yes, because they're 16, and that's sort of our IQ range.
Yeah. Right. But really, we did the thing last night in the ballroom where it was basically dinner theater. I mean, they were still being fed dessert at tables, like 1,000, 1,200 of them, 15, whatever, however many there were. Three audiences, they were all surprisingly well behaved for teenage audiences. But then, of course, they are, you know, this is a leadership conference, so they have demonstrated leadership abilities, I guess.
The SASPAC quotient was very low.
Very low, except for the Canadian tonight.
Yeah. Yes, I'm Canadian. You mentioned
Canucks. They're just nasty. That's their rep.
Canadians are known for being violent. Yeah. No, but yeah, we mentioned Canada. Woo! You know. Yeah.
One guy.
Yeah, one guy. I thought for a high school audiences, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, they laughed at all the sort of slightly off-color stuff, but they seem to hang with us. Sometimes you do high school shows, and you know, they seem to drift away.
Right.
And these people, I mean, the teens especially like the off-color stuff, but they seem to like the whole show. I thought it was a very good response.
Yeah, we shouldn't put them down. They were into the show. They watched the show. They had fun during the whole thing.
Now, and granted, it's the hour-long version.
Yeah.
So I mean, we cut out some stuff in the first act, and in the second act, we cut out the radio show and the audience participation. But other than that, we do the entire second act. I mean, the thing that always strikes me is that these kids, these future leaders of America, they don't really know who Richard Nixon is, who Gerald Ford is. And they don't know that Gerald Ford was known, if he was known at all, as a bumbler, which is also an unfair. They don't know, they kind of know Ronald Reagan because his name is on every other building here in Washington, D.C. But they still follow the story.
Well, we were saying between shows that you say Ronald Reagan, you make your first joke about Reagan, and I'd say the crowd was slightly more liberal than conservative, but it was a pretty good mix.
Mm-hmm.
But you could hear a crowd, ooh, like you couldn't make a joke about Ronald Reagan. And I think they're of an age, they weren't alive when Ronald Reagan was president. They don't know that, yes, most people really liked him, but the, you know, 30 or 40% who didn't like him really didn't like him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's true. Well, and also if they don't remember at all that he was sick with Alzheimer's, so they don't have the same problem of, oh, you can't make fun of a guy who was sick. Well, if he hadn't conducted his entire presidency as if he had Alzheimer's at the time, that would have been my.
Yeah, well, we've gotten grief for.
Also, not do much for the mentally ill during his presidential period. You know, like just letting, you know, cutting everybody loose and cutting funding like crazy. You know, that's what he did during his term. That was a big thing that he did. That's a big strike against him.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
Exactly.
As a native Californian, he did that when he was governor. all kinds of mentally ill people ended up on the streets, and I think are still there from his days as governor.
And most of them are in Berkeley. And I mean, I haven't liked Reagan's.
Is that when he did it rather than as a president? I mean, he was no fan of the mentally ill.
Well, when he was governor of California, he's the one who called in the National Guard against the free speech movement on the Berkeley campus. You know, and I grew up 10 minutes from there, so you know, I couldn't smell the tear gas, but you know, I was really aware of it. So,
from the time we wrote the show, we depicted Reagan as forgetful, because that's how when he was president, how he came across, and everybody thought, oh, he's so forgetful. We wrote this show, and then several years after we wrote this show.
Yeah.
He, you know, wrote that very moving letter about, you know, I'm developing Alzheimer's and I'm, you know, going to be fading away. And it was lovely. And then people started to say to us, oh, well, you can't do this about Reagan because he has Alzheimer's. And I said, yeah, but we wrote this show, you know, he had just hardly left the presidency like 4 years before. And it was several years after he wrote the show that he announced he had Alzheimer's. So we're not making fun of the Alzheimer's. We're poking fun at the way he came across when he was president.
Well, and he not even came across. In the Around Contra hearings, his repeated refrain was, I don't recall.
Yeah.
I don't recall. I don't recall. Which may or may not have been true, but it was about his leadership style as well.
Yeah.
About, you know, it was hands off. He wasn't a micromanager. Well, I'm not sure how much he knew what was going on.
He wasn't the one to be answering questions.
Yeah.
Which is a little grim.
Right.
You know,
well,
if you're president, you're not known for having good answers to questions.
Well, and there's always all those.
About what you're doing.
Yeah, there's all those famous, you know, you can see video clips of Nancy Reagan, you know, nudging him and giving him the answer, and then he'll say the answer.
Yeah, originally in our script, Nancy Reagan said to, Spade Diamond asked Reagan a question. He goes, and Nancy would whisper, Nancy, it was Nancy instead of George Bush Sr., whispering, we're doing everything we can, dear. And then Reagan says, we're doing everything we can, dear. Well, not many people remember this, not a high percentage of the audiences, but it's based on something that actually happened.
Well, and the original conception was that Nancy Reagan would sit there with Ronald Reagan as a ventriloquist dummy.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing, the opportunity that I always thought we had missed in the show, although I never thought of a way to figure out a way to make it work, was that you could really do that with anybody.
I mean, there are so many pairs where you could say, oh, he's just the mouthpiece. You know, she's the real. You know, you could have said it for...
Cheney and Bush.
You could have said it for Bob and Elizabeth Dole at a certain point when they were kind of prominent. You could have said... You could probably say it for Bill and Hillary or Bill and Monica. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of ways. And that would have been a nice running gag, but we never figured out a way to do it.
That's it for this week's Reduce Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your leadership qualifications via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com or find us at facebook.com and at myspace.com/reduce Shakespeare. You can leave us a voice message by clicking the RSE voicemail button on our podcast page, and you should become a subscriber to the Reduce Shakespeare Company video channel over on YouTube. Oh, you should also become a twit. A reduced Twitterer. Start following us on Twitter at twitter.com/reduced. I suspect that'll be the way to get the closest to live Reduced Shakespeare Company experience. I know I'll be tweeting live and posting pictures from the road next week. Thanks as always to webmaster Matt Rippey, former youth leader Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Kurt Austin. No relation or reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Joe Palka from National Public Radio, and thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 117 351st of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.